Godly wisdom applies to all kinds of situations, like this one.
My husband and I were living in the Atlanta area, and he was about to retire, and our plans had always been to build a home. And I had this killer closet that I wanted in my bedroom. I thought, this will be our last house, Lord willing. So I want a closet I can get all my clothes in. And he couldn't quite get the concept.
We're about to find out what killer closets have to do with wisdom from the book of Proverbs. This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, August 24th. Nancy's been in a series called The Way of Wisdom. After one of her teaching sessions, we let the recording keep rolling while Nancy asked the ladies in attendance for examples from their own lives. Interestingly enough, many of their responses followed a pattern.
I had an experience with our pastor one Sunday suggested that we read a Proverbs every day on the month of the day of the month, and so this was on a Sunday, and I had been going through a situation that I really needed some comfort and for the Lord to give me some encouragement, and that happened to be Proverbs 21, and the very first verse that I read said that the king's heart is like a channel of water in the Lord's hands, and it truly is. He can turn it whichever he wants for his loved ones, and so it was very encouraging to me.
That is a great verse. If you are a woman under authority, as we all are under some authority, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. As the rivers of water, he turns it, the Lord turns that king's heart whithersoever he will. Is that Proverbs 21, verse 1? And what a great promise. When you may not be able to trust the authority, you can trust God. Say, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and God moves kings. You have it all through the Old Testament. God moved these pagan kings to end up doing his will. And kings who would never have thought of doing the will of God, God can move them to accomplish his purposes if we will wait on the Lord and let him move.
Had you ever connected submission with trusting God? That reference again about the king's heart being in the Lord's hand was Proverbs 21:1. Now, this woman shared a practical illustration of how a verse from Proverbs can give a perspective on an everyday situation.
Well, my husband and I were living in the Atlanta area, and he was about to retire, and our plans had always been to come back to Arkansas to build a home. So he came ahead of me while I finished out the school year teaching, and he and the builder got busy laying the foundation, and he would call me each night and say, okay, this is what we're doing. Shall we move this wall? You know, and I had plans on a table. And then he came back to Georgia for a week and spent the week with me, and we went through the plans again. And I had this killer closet that I wanted in my bedroom. I thought, this will be our last house, Lord willing. So I want a closet I can get all my clothes in. And he couldn't quite get the concept. So each day I would come home from school and he would show me what he had drawn on the plans. And I'd say, no, no, no. And we'd start over again. And then by the third day, he was getting a little frustrated, and so was I. So I went to school, and teaching in a Christian school, we had devotions in the morning. And I just said, Lord, you have to show me something. And I don't usually do this, but I just opened my Bible to Proverbs, and it was Proverbs 14. And the verse says something like this, a wise woman buildeth her house, a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. And I thought, well, I wasn't expecting quite that distinct a response, but I went home and I said, I don't even want to see the plans. Whatever you've done today is perfect. And it was.
Neat. Great. Thanks, Gwen. That's practical. Jenny, you like that? Jenny and her husband just finished building a house. They're finishing building a house. Did you get your killer closet?
It's perfect.
A wise woman builds her house. As you can see, we often have a lot of fun at our recording sessions. By the way, if you're somewhere near a Revive Our Hearts recording session, you can attend too. Just check out reviveourhearts.com for Nancy's recording schedule. We'd love to have you. This particular series on wisdom was recorded in the studios of Family Life Today in Little Rock, Arkansas, and one of the ladies in the audience works there at Family Life.
Hi, I'm Susan, and I work here at Family Life, and I ran up to my office during the break just to check and see if there was anything I needed to take care of. And some work had come in. I checked the deadlines, and I thought, I'm okay. I can wait until after the sessions today and take care of those. And then my senior editor came to the door, and so I asked him about it just to make sure to be under his authority and get his approval, and he just waved me off. He said, go ahead, it's fine, no problem. So it's just a little thing of staying under authority, checking with my counsel before I could come down and continue to enjoy the sessions today.
And there's so much protection in that. Now you say, what if he said it wasn't okay? You know what? There's protection in that too. And you and I, more than, usually it's not who's right or who's wrong, because these aren't usually federal issues or matters of right and wrong. It's more a matter of, I think, God giving us tests to see, do you have a humble spirit? Are you willing to come under authority? Are you willing to bend? Are you willing to be flexible? Or does it have to be your way? Proverbs talks a lot about the fool is the person whose way is right in his own eyes. He's wise in his own eyes. And a humble person is a wise person who says, it doesn't have to be my way.
Susan, let's... the last one. And I didn't grumble or complain. You'll be happy.
You'll be happy, more importantly.
I didn't see it with my lips. I thought about it in here because I wanted to be here, but I didn't.
2 Samuel 20, the wise woman of Abel. Good, Susan. Anybody else? Just a practical illustration of wisdom from your life or Proverbs?
Hi, my name is Judy, and yesterday I was able to hear some of the lesson, and interestingly enough, for about 2 weeks, there's been an issue that's just been troubling me at the church where I work, and a decision had been made, and a few of us in the children's department were not settled with this decision, and just were feeling so uncomfortable, and my natural way is to go in like a bull in a china cabinet and just charge right in and make my opinions known and expect people to kind of follow along, because what I think, of course, makes sense to me, I think other people is going to make sense to them. And this time I decided to just relax and to just wait. And yesterday, one of the things that was shared was to seek out wise counsel and have, you know, advisors. And one of the gals here is a real close friend, and I stopped her and I said, you know, I'd like to talk with you about this issue so that I can just talk out my feelings, share with you my frustrations, and kind of phrase to you how I would like to share with the leadership of the church what my perspective is in a way that perhaps could be heard better. And of course, she was real receptive and said, yes, just call. And I got back to the church yesterday afternoon, and it just goes to show sometimes how all you have to do is submit and show that you're willing to wait and willing to listen to others. And I got back, and the decision that we all had wanted had been made. So it was just a real reassuring way of just saying, Lord, just to the Lord saying to me, just let me have it. Let me work through it. Just be patient and be humble. And that's not my natural nature. So it was just a wonderful reassurance that when you do that, he is so faithful to just supply whatever you need.
That's great. It is so hard for us as women to wait. Am I right? We think we know, and we may know. We may not know as much as we think we know, but whether it's in your marriage, how you and your husband are processing how to deal with a certain child or a certain issue or something in your workplace or something in your church, we're very quick to come to conclusions about what needs to be done, and we're very verbal. And so we want to communicate what we have determined is best, and many times the most effective thing we can do is just wait, be quiet, seek counsel, ask the Lord, but wait and give God a chance to act and give the men involved a chance to act. And sometimes I think these men would come more to the step up to the plate and be quicker to provide the kind of leadership and direction that we wish they would if we weren't so quick to the draw. So there are a lot of wise things in what you just said, Judy, that illustrate principles from Proverbs.
In the lessons that we were in, one of the things was how Esther was humble and how she really waited before she went in to seek the king. And I have this friction that goes on with my immediate supervisor. And this was the first opportunity or first real jewel where I stepped back and let him really take the lead because he's younger than I am. He's not as administratively gifted. He, you know, there's just things that I feel I see more clearly from many years of experience in management and so forth. And my nature is just to rush forward. And this was such a great opportunity to let him be empowered, let him be the one that just championed the issue. And he wrote me an email message and he said, "You would be proud of me." And it gave me an opportunity to go back and say, "I am so proud of you." And it just to build that relationship, again, learning from so many things in the Word that just, if you just relax and let it sift through and then for me, follow it. You know, so oftentimes I know it here, but I don't live it out, you know, and just relaxing and living out.
Neat. That's great. And what an opportunity for that man to see respect, which men need. And we need to give it. And when we're giving it and they're receiving it, there's a lot more harmony, whether it's in your home or in your workplace or in your church. That's great, Judy.
We've been hearing real-life examples of ways that some Revive Our Hearts guests have walked out this teaching on wisdom in their own lives. Now, we do have several other things in our lineup, including Nancy sharing about how she had to submit to someone else's counsel when she wouldn't have wanted to. Also, we'll hear an email from a wise woman and the choice she made to protect herself from temptation. But first, a clarifying word from Nancy about how the Proverbs aren't ironclad 100% of the time guarantees.
Now, when we say that there are no guarantees that your children will walk with God, someone's going to say, and I've heard it many times, but what about Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, let me just back up for a moment and say, and we've referenced this earlier in our series on Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings inspired by the Holy Spirit through Solomon, but they're general observations about how life works and how God's ways work. That doesn't mean that they were intended to be given as absolute unconditional promises. It's saying, for example, you read many times in Proverbs, if you live a righteous life, you will live long. And the days of the wicked will be cut short. You say, well, what about this wicked person who lived to be 100? Or this godly person like my dad who dropped dead of a heart attack at the age of 53? What happened to those promises? The book of Proverbs is not essentially a collection of promises. It's a collection of wise ways of thinking God's way about life. They're general statements that generally this is the way that it happens. But God does not say these are promises that will always be true that way. So God may choose in his providence to take a godly person home at a younger age. Or in his providence, he may let a wicked person live to a very ripe old age. But the point is that if you want to live a successful and prosperous and blessed and, yes, long life, it's better to live wisely. They're just lifestyle choices. Obviously, if you're not an alcoholic, you're not gluttonous, you're not abusing your body, you're not making foolish choices, you got a good chance of not getting killed in a car accident or, you know, and yet some people who are being obedient do get killed in car accidents. So it's not to say this is always the way that it is, but generally speaking, it makes sense to live your life this way in the way of wisdom. So I think when we come to Proverbs 22, it's saying, train up your children, and we won't exposit this whole text in this session, but train up your children in the way that God has designed for them to go. We could do a whole study on what that means. And When he is old, some would say as he is growing older, he will not depart from it. Well, the proverb there, the pithy saying, the wise observation is that if you're training your children in God's ways, there's a whole lot better chance of their walking with God than if you don't train your children in God's ways. Now, some people grow up in ungodly homes, and they turn out to walk with God. Some people grow up in godly homes, and they go from the Lord. So it can happen, but the word of wisdom there is, as a parent, your responsibility is to train up your children in God's ways. And then you have the hope that there is the likelihood that those children will grow up to have a hunger and an appetite for the things of God.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss with some clarification for those of us with more black and white ways of thinking. She'll be right back, but I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you of a very helpful book for parents called Proverbs for Parenting. This isn't an easy book to find, but Nancy thinks very much of it, so our team has made sure that we have it ready for you. This is a topical approach to the book of Proverbs, and it's invaluable when it comes to the discipline and training of children. You can order your copy of Proverbs for Parenting from our website, reviveourhearts.com, or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Yesterday, we observed that sometimes the most difficult exercise a wise person has to practice is taking the advice of others, especially when it seems contrary to what you think is right. Nancy shared about a time in the early days of Revive Our Hearts when she had to do that too. Bob Lapine, co-host of Family Life Today, was coaching her on her teaching, and he offered some counsel she wasn't sure she wanted to take.
We were recording the series on the Book of Ruth. I still remember this. It was September of 01. There was one particular session where Bob, who was sitting in the back of the room, said to me, never done this before, never has done it since. He said, I want you to do that session again because I feel like this was confusing and you need to clarify this and whatever, which I really didn't mind. But as you can see, having to start and restart to get your thoughts collected, and I'm so dependent on my notes, and I'm thinking, yikes. So one of the women, some of you may have been there, Pat, you may have been there, I don't know. One of the women stood up and said, let's just pray for Nancy, right? So they prayed while I looked at my notes, and then we re-recorded, did two programs instead of one, and it really was much better. But after that session, a lady came up to me who had never been in the recording before, and I don't know her background, I don't even remember who it was, actually, and I didn't know her story, but the session that we had repeated was the one about women coming under the protection of their husbands, covering, and women coming under men, just having a teachable spirit toward men that God puts into our lives. So not just in marriage, but also in other relationships, how we need to have a teachable spirit. Anyway, that was what the session was about. And this woman came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, it meant so much to me the way that you responded when Bob asked you to retake that session. You demonstrated what you were teaching us, and that made a mark on my life. Now, I don't know what her issues were or what God was speaking to her about, but how cool is that? You know, you just try to develop a default mechanism that is to respond to counsel and reproof with a humble spirit, and God blesses. He blesses you, He blesses others, and He multiplies the impact. So I think moms, you can't imagine the impact on your kids when you take the pathway of humility and how that preaches to them maybe more than anything else you may have preached.
Nancy Lee DeMoss will be right back. She's been in a series called The Way of Wisdom, based on the book of Proverbs. Today we heard from listeners who are injecting wisdom into some tough situations. Nancy will tell us one more story along those lines, but first let me tell you about a workbook that will show how God's Word and your life can combine in beautiful ways. It's called Seeking Him, Experiencing the Joy of Personal Revival. The workbook will lead you into wise choices of integrity, purity, holiness, and obedience. You'll study topics like these for yourself and discover what they mean for your specific situations. When you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send the workbook, Seeking Him, to show our gratitude. Just call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or donate at reviveourhearts.com. With the final thought, Nancy reads from an email she received.
My husband and I have been struggling for the past year in our marriage. I felt so lonely, neglected, unloved, ugly, etc., etc., etc. This is, by the way, a woman who chose the pathway of wisdom, made the hard choice. When that emptiness is overwhelming, the temptation is to seek validation and affirmation in a relationship outside of my marriage. My pastor's wife is a good friend whom I love dearly. I've poured out my heart to her about my situation. She encouraged me to counsel with her husband. And well-meaning in that, I'm sure. Given any other issue, this would have been an excellent resource for support and guidance. However, considering this was such an emotionally charged subject for me and I was feeling so emotionally vulnerable, I felt it was more appropriate to share it with her. I don't doubt the character of the man of God who leads my church family, especially toward me. However, I know in the vulnerable state that I have been in, the ability that I have to attach myself emotionally to someone inappropriately. So she didn't go there. She says, I know God is my comfort. I can attach myself and all my emotions to Him and need not commit a sin in my heart or against my husband. Then she said, P.S. Which, you know, there wouldn't have to be this P.S., but by God's mercy there is. My marriage is getting better, slowly but surely. Now, I guarantee you, if she let her heart say, but pastors are godly, yeah, supposed to be, and this one probably is, sounds like he is, but she knew her own heart, and she said, I can't go there. Wisely went to the pastor's wife, and had she let her heart go a different direction, I think she might not have had that P.S. But God is working in her marriage because He's helping her to keep her heart focused on her husband and her home. So I thought that was a good illustration of choosing to make a tough choice. Father, how I pray that as women, we will choose the pathway of wisdom. Thank you that you've made it clear to us that wisdom calls out from the highest places, that you've broadcast wisdom to our hearts. Help us to choose it. Make us wise women. Help us to realize that every time we don't choose the way of wisdom, we choose folly, and that every foolish choice has consequences. There's no such thing as a small foolish choice, a little compromise, that we will pay a price. There will be consequences. Help us, Lord, to connect the dots, to see the results of the way that we're choosing. Make us wise women who have a godly influence in our homes, in our workplaces, in our churches, and on all those around us. I pray in the name of Jesus, who is the wisdom of God and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. To receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today. In our acts of love and our deeds of faith, speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Thank you.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.